Okay, we're having another virtual church service here, and I'm doing it a little different this time. I'm actually recording this, as you can see, from my pulpit, and I've got my computer in front of me. That's the black thing you see there. But so we're going to do it this way, just to help kind of get the sense that this is church. You know, we're in church, and we got the church and we got the steeple, but we don't have too many people right here. But I know that you're out there listening, and I really appreciate the input that you have given, the comments, the emails, the telephone calls, just to let us know you're here, that we're not just talking to ourselves through this process. But I'm very grateful for the ability to tap into technology as we have it here. It's a pretty amazing thing. Some people have suggested that we do a live stream of our service, and I just don't think that's real practical. I've watched several of them, and they run into all kinds of problems. And in a Sunday morning service, it's kind of a one-way communication. If we were having a class or something, yes, I would set this up, and we may do that. We may have like a town hall meeting on one of the online services, like Zoom or one of them, where several of us can get together and do that. That's a pretty amazing technology also. But anyway, I think pre-recording this whole thing is the best way to do it. We're going to get the best quality. So I just want to say that we're certainly holding all of you in our prayers and our thoughts, and just want to again extend the invitation to call or to email. Just, you know, let us know you're doing fine, and if you have any particular needs we can help with, including just talking. You know, that's a good thing to do. Social distancing doesn't necessarily mean that we can that we don't talk, you know, because we do. We can talk, and we don't pass on anything when we do that. But today I'm talking about common sense faith. And that may sound a bit like an oxymoron. Common sense and faith. Common sense is one thing, faith is another, and because a lot of people that claim to have faith may not have a lot of common sense, or they may see it as it goes beyond logic, beyond logical thinking. And one of the things that always has appealed to me about unity is there's a spiritual logic to it. And so common sense is very much a part of the whole thing. And yes, there's a place where we step off into the unseen in terms of our faith, our understanding. And we acknowledge that there is an unseen power working through us that requires different kind of viewing, a different kind of seeing, and we call that different kind of seeing faith. But it's still based on common sense. But we begin with the idea that we are immersed in the presence of God right now. And the common sense is, if that's true, then God is accessible and I can communicate with God. Okay. One of the points I made last week involved the importance of admitting that there is a problem before we can actually work with it. And I think somehow some people have missed that point, that I was just given this high statement that we just trust God and act as if this whole thing is not here. And that was not what I intended to say. If I came across that way, that's not what I intended to say. One of the things I think that people struggle with that are students of Unity, especially of Emily Cady, was a statement that she made in her book, Lessons in Truth. She said, there is no evil. And that really bothers a lot of people. Because, we're dealing with a coronavirus pandemic right now. And how can you say there is no evil? So it's important to understand what she meant by this. She did not mean there is no manifestation of disease or poverty or discord, you know, war and rumors of war, all the stuff that goes on the human level. She wasn't pretending like that didn't exist. She had problems of her own. But to say there is no evil, she was saying there's no source of evil. And one way that she tried to explain that was to think of evil as a shadow. You see that my hand is casting a shadow on the wall behind me. So there's not a source of that shadow. There's not something that is beaming that shadow out, because if I move my hand, the shadow goes away. So the shadow is the result of a blockage of the deeper reality, the one reality, which is the light. And that's how we think of it. There's only one presence and one power, one source, one reality, and that's God, the good. There is the appearance of evil, but it does not exist at that level of reality. It is a shadow being cast by something else. So people have taken that idea, there is no evil. People in Unity and New Thought in general have taken that idea, there is no evil, and they would apply it to this pandemic in that way. There is no pandemic. There is no, this is not real. It's not really there. There's only God. You know, that's all we need to think about. And so that's a problem. And it's a spiritual fallacy. We don't approach problems from that level. That's called, when I was in ministerial school, they used to call us, the people that embrace that kind of thinking, absolutists. To say there's no pandemic, you know, I don't need to wash my hands, I don't need to do whatever everybody's being called to do. And I have to admit that when this whole thing broke out, I had a difficult time even mentioning the words coronavirus, pandemic. I didn't want to mention them because it felt like I was empowering that whole idea. But we have to accept what is going on right in front of us, you know, if we're going to do something about it. So we don't say this thing is not real in terms of, you know, a shadow is real. If you're in the shadow of a cloud, you know, it's, you're not as much light as if you, when that cloud passes. So we're not in denial, okay? But we're also not without power. We're not without our source. We are always in God, and God is always in us. But we come to grips with this whole thing by admitting, yes, there is a coronavirus pandemic, and yes, there are things I will do. So it's interesting. What I have noticed is, in a normal situation, if you ask 10 people what's on their mind, you know, what challenges are they facing at this moment, you could get 10 different answers, 10 different problems. But right now, most people will respond with the coronavirus, the pandemic, the issues they may be going through. That's forefront on everybody's mind. And it is, they may come from it from different places. Like some are concerned about their health, some are concerned about maybe a food shortage or people hoarding or whatever, and some are concerned about what the stock market has been doing, although it seems to be rebounding now. But we are sort of tied together by a common problem, and in some ways that's a very good thing. It's helpful to have something we can focus on and deal with from a common sense level. So we've identified this common concern. Now what do we do about it? Okay. From the common sense level, we wash our hands. We maintain social distancing. We don't hug and we don't hold hands, shake hands, whatever. We don't kiss people we don't know. We don't normally do that anyway, or some do, I guess. Spend most of our time at home. That's the third thing. We stop hoarding and we become vigilant about helping others who may be unable to help themselves at this moment. Maybe your neighbor needs food or something, someone to go grocery shopping for them or whatever. But that's the practical thing. We wash our hands, we maintain social distancing, spend most of our time at home, stop hoarding, and become vigilant about helping others who are unable to help themselves. So we do these basic things with the intention of making our situation better and making the situation of other people better as well. Now, it may sound like a simple platitude to say that we're going to get through this thing. We're going to get through this thing. I have discovered, to my surprise, that there are some people that don't really seem to want to hear that. That it's just a cliche, a platitude, you know, we're going to get through this thing. And I don't know if they just want to see us crash and burn and, you know, never recover from this or what, or just think it's so serious that that we'll never recover. Well, we will. We're going to get through this thing. But this is exactly what we need to say. We're going to get through this thing. We need to put our thinking in that direction. And I'm not saying that we run out of this place and we abandon the practical things that we're doing to self-protect and protect other people. But there are people right now that are in an absolute panic, and they don't want to hear the possibility that you really don't need to panic. There's no reason for it. But it's interesting anyway to look at what panic is and why we may be doing it. Panic is an expression of faith. Panic is an expression of faith. It's faith in what? It's faith that something horrible is about to happen. But you are using your faculty of faith to focus on the worst case scenario. And you know you can't do anything about that. You can't do anything about that picture that you're holding, that destruction, that life falling apart imagery that you're holding at this moment. You can't do anything about that as long as you're projecting it, as long as you're the one panicking. But you have faith in that picture that you've created, and you're reacting to it, and that's called panic. But it is faith. It is the most powerful faculty that you have, one of the most powerful faculties. Imagination is the other, and you're using both of those to create pictures that justify your panic. And if you find yourself doing this, just bear with me on this. Just kind of go with me on this for a moment. Because I've been panicked before. I know what that feels like. But I've been in situations where I just wanted to run away. But when I got hold of myself and was able to function, I've told the story before about when I was learning to sail. Beth and I were learning to sail our little Hobie Cat. I didn't know much about sailing. I knew very little about high wind. In fact, nothing about high wind. What I knew about high wind is it scared me. I didn't like it. And it's kind of odd to be out on a sailboat and be afraid of wind, because sailboats actually run by wind. And if you are familiar with weather, you know, we don't really have a lot of control over the weather. So when you get on the sailboat, you need to know how to handle wind. So when this started happening, I would panic. I would feel afraid when a wind would come up that was pushed me beyond my current understanding. But over time, I got where I was able to deal with that and to expand my understanding of how to run the sailboat when the wind came up. And what's interesting is I got to the point where you look for more wind. You actually go out and try to find it. So it's panic is, I understand panic. I understand fear. And I'm not downplaying the fact that there are people panicking right now that are in a high wind and they don't know how to deal with that high wind. So that's why we're doing what we're doing here. We're trying to encourage people to be calm and to pull back your faith and your imagination in the negative. Okay, so we are confronting this burning fire of panic so we can put it out, so we can redirect our faith in a constructive manner rather than a destructive manner. And what is being destroyed is our peace of mind. We are going to make it through this. We're going to get through this. And we begin to get through this right now. We start by entertaining this very basic notion. And it sounds like an oversimplification to some. But let's try it. You know, let's do this. Those of you that are feeling so out of control, feeling like you have nothing to say about what's going on here, you do. So this thing we're in now, this coronavirus pandemic, this is our life. This is where we are. This is the situation that is laid before us. No one wants it. No one wants to deal with it, but it's here. And we really can't avoid dealing with it. To say it's not real is to put ourselves and others at risk, so we're not going to take that route. We're going to embrace it, but as a shadow, and it is a shadow that is here, but there's a cause for it, and we're going to see that cause dissolving. It's a body-based problem, and we will solve it. We will. And we are solving it now. And we are beginning to solve it now with a change of attitude on an individual level. That's how we do it. So how do we deal with this pandemic from a spiritual perspective? And this is a key question. It's probably one of the most important that we can ask ourselves. I raise this question all the time. Why do we study spiritual principles? So we can feel good while we're sitting safely in a chair, you know, in an office, and the world is out there and we're here? Or is it when we're on the sailboat in the high wind? Is that where we need to be able to put into practice what we know? And that's the question. And that's what we want to be able to do. Do I really believe in these spiritual principles that I profess? Or do I just profess them because doing so makes me feel good? That's a good question. And it's one that we should ask ourselves if we're panicking, if we've lost control, if we're feeling like things are not working out for us. What about the spiritual thing? What do I do? What do I do to put into practice what I know is true? Well, I can't think of a better time to do it than now, can you? This is something that we all mutually agree on, for the most part, that we've got a problem here. And we all kind of understand it because we're following the reports, we're following the news of what's going on, not just in this town or in this country, but around the world. It's pretty amazing. We have a common problem, and we are looking at it, you know, from many different perspectives. But if this spiritual thing means anything, then it must mean something here. We have to bring it into this experience that we're going through right now. So how can I use the power of my faith to change the way I think and feel, to change the quality of my experience? I've listed three very simple ideas, and I would just invite you to consider them and to maybe put them into practice. I think probably you are already. and these are just reminders. Number one, refrain from projecting. Refrain from projecting. Refrain from using your imagination to envision the worst case scenarios. And look at your emotional level. If you are feeling fear at this moment, you're projecting. You're afraid that something's going to happen, something bad is going to happen, and you're having an emotional reaction to that. That's a projection. So you can stop doing that. You can pull back on that, and there's nothing impractical about it. There's nothing airy-fairy about that. Refrain from projecting. You have the ability to project, and you have the ability to change that projection. And so if the spiritual thing is to mean anything, that's where we start. You put the reins on your mind. You put the reins on your imagination. You tell it that you're a faculty of mine. I'm not here to follow you. You're here to follow me. I want to use my imagination. I want to use my faith in the very best way possible. So number one is refrain from projecting. Number two, set quiet times with the specific intention of releasing your fear. Set quiet times with the specific intention of releasing your fear. Now that's important because you're saying to yourself, okay, for the next 10 or 15, 30 minutes, I'm going to refrain. I'm going to release my fear. I'm going to look at my fear, whatever fear I'm experiencing, and I'm going to let it go. I'm not going to experience fear during this time. That's my specific intention during this time. So what you're doing here is you're practicing reeling in your energies and refocusing them. That's all you really have, and that's all you need. It's your energy, your mind, your emotion. It's yours. It's not the world's, and the world's pushing all your buttons and you're having these experiences you have no control over. We want to be in this world, but not of it. That's the important thing. So set quiet times with the specific intention of releasing your fear. Number one, refrain from projecting. And number two, set quiet times with the specific intention of releasing your fear. Number three, take the attitude that this too shall pass. Again, a very simple idea. This too shall pass. Just think of everything you're looking at right now. Look at, you know, what's going on in the stock market. New York City is what they're calling a hot spot. Think of that city, you know. One of these days, in the not too distant future, they're going to say, this is past. We've succeeded. We've gotten through this. Everybody's going to be saying that. So let's say that now. Let's begin to say that now. Take the attitude that this too shall pass. So we refrain from projecting. We refrain from projecting. We set quiet times with the specific intention of releasing our fear. And we take the attitude that this too shall pass. Okay? And I just want to offer the invitation again. If there's anything I've said today that doesn't make sense to you, that you would like me to clarify, get in touch with me, and I'll be happy to talk about it in the next lesson to help explain it. Because if you didn't understand what I said, maybe somebody else won't either. Sometimes I don't understand what I say. And sometimes I get it better when I listen to myself on a recording the second time. It's kind of interesting to notice. But just know that we're here to help in any way we can. That I've devoted my life to this whole spiritual thing. And we're in a situation now that's unusual. But this is where it counts. This is where it matters. This is where our spiritual life has to come to mean something.